And as they go, then why don't you all open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, take out your message notes. If you don't have notes, the ushers will provide them for you. But we're not going to get much further than what we where we went last week, because today is just so rich with being a real church. You know, as most of you know, many of you anyway, I didn't come to faith till I was an adult. I wasn't raised in church. And I don't follow any particular church outline, if you will, as the way you do church. You know, there are certain prescribed ways. If you're part of the Presbyterian church, it's going to go this way. If you're a Methodist church, it's going to go this way. And if you're part of an evangelical church, well, you're going to have these things that are involved in it. But for us this morning, we were the church family that came together corporately. We've come here to worship Him. We have worshiped Him in song. We have worshiped Him in prayer. And we will worship Him by looking at the Word of God. We will worship Him by coming to the Lord's table. Many of us will worship Him by receiving the elements that are there and what they mean. We're all here to worship for various ways, but we have had this beautiful opportunity to come alongside John Benoit to pray for him today. That is the church, corporate. That is the church being the church. We are able to honor three of our church family, first responders, for their being in the community and doing the things that are hazardous, dangerous. And we have honored the families of individuals that have paid the ultimate price for protecting us in our communities, in our cities. And likewise, we are, we're just, the church is being the church, and therefore we are receiving blessings from Him and extending our blessing upon Him through our praying and giving thanksgiving for these people that we've mentioned today that are gifts from Him to us. But the reality is, all of you are a gift from the Lord, and you are a gift to all of them. And you're a gift to all of them. And you're a gift to all of them. And we miss it at times. You know, I'm just going to church. And we don't pick up on the fact that here I have this person next to me that our Lord extended His grace to, and they have appropriated Him as their Lord and Savior. And what a joy it is to meet someone else who the Lord, for reasons unbeknownst to us, just to Him, that He would save us. We are gifts to one another. I mean, look around. Some of us have come from gangs. Some of us, you know, work in offices. Others of us stand before children and we teach. There are others that have to deal with the gangbangers. We have people that are retired. We come from all over the place. But have we walked in? And when you walk in, do you see the greeter at the door, at the gate, as a blessing? Do you see our sound team who make my being able to be heard without screaming at you? Do you thank them for the skills that they have and just for the men that they happen to be? And if Norma's there, then the woman that she is. I mean, this is such a wonderful thing, and it gets taken for granted. And I just wanted to call attention to all of that. I mean, we've got missionary letters back there on the resource table. I want to ask you by a show of hands, but how many of you have taken a letter and read it? How many of you even care that we have kids in Pakistan and they are serving among the Muslims who would just as soon kill them? But there they are with their little children and they're sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you even know who that family is? There are letters back there. Do you know about this wonderful family that's been in the Philippines, in a tribe, for years? And they're getting ready to go to a new tribe because the gospel has been shared and a large number of that tribe has come to faith in Christ, and they're going to the tribes around them now and sharing the gospel. Do you know which family that is? Their letters are back there. These are our people, family. They are there for a reason. And then we have the Voice of the Martyrs newsletter back there. And how we can pray for the people in the persecuted church. Do any of us take that home? And do we learn about Aaliyah and pray for Aaliyah? Because she's Somali. And she is a Christian. And she is in a Muslim family, and her uncle's already threatened her life. How do I know that? By taking it and reading it and praying for Malia, who is sharing her faith in spite of all of that. You know me. I am pushing us to be a real church before Christ, and not the plastic church that shows up, drops their $5 in the bag when it's offering time, sings a couple of ditties that they like singing. They sit and critique the pastor as to whether or not he was worthy of their $5 this morning or something, and that kind of thing. This is real life in Christ. You know, we can't be with each other out there because we go in various directions, but here we are corporately, and we're loving each other. And to be an encouragement to each other. There are people here who probably would appreciate some prayer this morning. But I haven't had the opportunity to talk with them and to pray with them. Have you? Have you prayed with anyone this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just putting it out there. And when it's time to come to the table, it's being real. It's not just what you may have seen done in other churches where there's pass the elements, you eat the bread, slosh down the drink, and that's it. No, it's a special time of remembering when we appropriated the Lord. And we are once again as if being filled with Him. We're not, but it might be even that time where we wake up in the morning to be filled with the Spirit, as we're supposed to do every day, to request being freshly refilled with the Spirit of God, to be that living sacrifice for Him. Anyway, having said that, I just have you, as quickly as I can, I just want to address where we've been in Acts chapter 3, and then we're going to go to the table, because this passage, as far as we're going to go this morning, really prepares our hearts, if we're open to it, and our minds, to come to the table in an honest way, and in a way that should be even thrilling. So let's look here at page one of your notes. He says here in Acts 3, beginning of verse 17, he says, and now, what does he mean by and now? That long paragraph that came before, he's talking about, you know, here I am, I'm going to share with you the compassion of Christ, but I've not compromised on the gospel. I shared with you in the previous verses, if you will. Peter didn't know any of this was being written down at the time, or going to be written down. I shared with you that the Messiah has come. The Most High Servant of God, His representative on earth, has come, and His name was Yeshua HaMashiach Nazareus. And you took it upon yourself to reject Him. You took it upon yourself to draw Him together with the chief priests and bring him to Pilate and request his being crucified. You killed the author of life. He got right in their faces to let them know, I'm not backing away, but what I want you to understand now, that you understand that you're a sinner and needing the Savior. That Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, and now, brothers, my countrymen, I know that you acted in ignorance. And the reason we know, he knows that they acted in ignorance because he acted in ignorance at the garden and in the courtyard of the high priest. And he says again, as he says, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your chief priests, as did the priests, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ, his Messiah, would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Jesus Christ was ripped to shreds by the cat and nine tail and was crucified. The Messiah would suffer. He thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore. Repent of what? Therefore always goes backwards to what was previously said. You killed the author of life. You killed our Messiah. Therefore repent. Understand that. Change your mind. See yourself as God sees you. You're all sinners. And Peter's not setting himself up to say, I'm not a sinner. He is one, but saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. So he says, change your mind. Change your mind about Yeshua. Change your mind about who you think you are. See yourself as God sees you. Repent, therefore, and turn back. And as you recall, as we looked at that, it means turn back to God and literally flee to God. Flee to God. Because right now, you are sinners and you are susceptible to damnation and hell. In this very moment, this is where you are because you have not repented of your sin. So turn back to God that your sins may be blotted out, expunged, eliminated. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ, the Messiah, appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of the prophets. By restoring these things by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You know, this passage so far reminds me of Isaiah when he was preaching, when he was teaching, when he was breathing out the word of God upon the Israelis, the Israelites, in his book in chapter 55. In 55, verses 6 and 7, he said, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is what Peter is trying to get these thousands of people that are on the Temple Mount to do. You missed it. I mean, you're all enthralled that here's this man standing next to John and me because of this miracle that Jesus did, because of Peter's faith in Jesus. But that's what you're all excited about. But this is the reason our Heavenly Father has done it. I've got your attention. You need the Redeemer. You need Christ. So Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. He isn't always going to be available. Let the wicked forsake his way. Stop living the way you are that is a dishonor to the Lord. And you know in your own heart, it makes you ashamed when you think about what you've said, what you've done. Forsake the wicked way and the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Forsake that. Some of us, I have thought such vile, wicked, terrible things. And unfortunately, they eventually made it out of my mouth. And sometimes they made it through my pen or my keyboard. The prophet would go on and say, let him return to the Lord. Just like Peter's saying, you know, return to the Lord, flee to the Lord, that he may have compassion on you. See, our Lord wants to have compassion on us. And he does minister compassion upon us, doesn't he? That he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See, Peter wants the people to know, even though they have killed the Messiah, there is a pardon that the God of their ancestors would love to provide for them, just as he and John and so many others now have received forgiveness of their sins by responding to God's grace upon their life, his favor, and this faith that they now have in this one whom they have killed, the Messiah. But the Messiah is not dead. The Messiah is alive. And Peter wants them to know that they're not the only ones. Peter and he are not the only ones who have seen him alive. Hundreds have now in Jerusalem seen him alive. So in verse 22, where we were, he said, Moses said, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers, and you shall listen to him. In other words, you will obey him. It's not the liberties that so many in the Christian church take today. They hear the prescription that our Heavenly Father breathes out on them on a Sunday morning, whether it be in the adult Sunday school class or from whoever is behind this pulpit on a Sunday morning declaring the full counsel of God. It's not a matter of just listening and walking away going, it is a matter of taking it and showing up for practice. Doing it to his glory and honor. The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be, I mean, this is horrific, folks. And it shall be that every soul, every person who does not listen to that prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days, the days of the Messiah. They have come and they continue to go forward. We are living in the days of the Messiah. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And imagine Abraham through your offspring, the families of the world will be blessed. That didn't happen. Abraham's offspring wanted to hold on to Yeshua, or not to Yeshua, but to Yahweh. They wanted to keep him for himself. They were not out there strongly wanting to make proselytes, to bring them into Judaism. They did not do that. And you know what? The church isn't doing a much better job today, at least in America. We have the answer to the cancer of sin. We have the deepest of intimacies with the one true living God. And many of our brothers and sisters, they don't do this. They even go out of their way not to do this, to share him with those who need him desperately. This is prophetic, because one day Israel will rise up and they will believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, and they will be the ones through whom the earth will be blessed. But we have that opportunity to bless as many in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now as the bride of Christ. God, having raised up this servant, this prophet, if you will, sent him to you first, the Jews, to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. This is Peter's wonderful, compassionate offering of a pardon to many of those who participated in the very crucifixion, death of our Lord Jesus. And here is our Lord now speaking through Peter. I offer you this pardon because I've gone to the cross. I've there suffered for your sins. And because I have died and my Father has raised me to new life, he has accepted my sacrifice on your behalf. He's accepted it. And therefore, you have this pardon if you respond to my Father's grace. You who are truly to be mine, you know you're being drawn. You sense something within you to come to me. Jesus the Messiah from Nazareth, the Son of the Most High God, Emmanuel. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Father, you've been showing us so much compassion this morning. We thank you for using the Apostle Luke and Peter. You've shown us personally your grace and mercy and agape love. You've provided us kindness and forgiveness. It's hard to believe you brought me to yourself with all my sins, failures, warts and all. So I offer you my life. That's what you've asked of each of us, that we would offer you our lives as living sacrifices, having been made holy by you, that we would be imitators of you with the help of your gracious Spirit. It is only through you that we are made righteous by him who knew no sin and became our unrighteousness. So, Father, we come this morning. We come to this table. We come to love you and to love and to thank your Son once again. for his graciousness towards us and through great sacrifice. For it is in his name that we offer this prayer this morning. Amen.